Louis, and I'm a compulsive gambler. My last bet was on September the 4th, 1983. You know, at GA meetings, I used to read the steps and talk about recovery. Later on, I learned to write, obey, and focus on recovering, not recovery. Which fear motivates me to work step 5? Is it the self-imprisonment, the insanity, death? What then? Step 5, admitted to myself and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs. Let me review the previous steps. In step 1, I experienced my powerlessness over gambling and the unmanageability of my life. In step 2, I need to believe in a power greater than myself so I can be restored to a normal way of thinking and living. In step 3, in prayer, I make the daily decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of this power. In step 4, I make a written moral and financial inventory of myself. Doing step 5, there are no more secrets. I am free. I feel good. I am alive. Thank you.
Okay, Bob D., compulsive gambler.
Hey, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing? I don't think I'm making any great revelation in the conclusion that step 5 and step 4 are basically one step. It starts with step 4, taking a written financial and moral inventory of yourself. Then you unload it with another person. You unload all that crap. And there's an instant, immediate relief just in the process of unloading it. Just like in a meeting. You stuff and stuff, you talk, you feel better. In the same way with step 5. As soon as you unload it, there's that feeling of relief. What I found out in working this step, however, is you can manipulate it very quickly, and I know I manipulated it. And to get the conclusion that I wanted rather than what I needed, I was very cute in working this step. I picked initially someone to share stuff with who was going to say what I wanted to hear rather than what I needed to hear. I'll give you an example. And I'm going back quite many years. I was having an affair. And I wrote it in my moral inventory. And I said, okay, I'll work step 5, and I'll share it with somebody. Now, I was very manipulative and cute in that I picked somebody who I knew was having an affair. So I knew what I knew what was going to come out of this. And in my irrational thinking as a compulsive gambler, I thought I'm really working the steps. And when this person I'm working step 5 with, which I really wasn't working step 5 with because I was conning myself, said, yeah, just be careful. Don't do it all the time. You know, you still got to respect your wife. But once in a while ain't the end of the world. Oh, my God, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. So I continued with it. And it was similar with another situation where I'm cheating on taxes, I'm padding expenses. I picked somebody who I knew was a con artist in business, and he told me what I wanted to hear. The problem with that is you still don't feel good about yourself. And going to a lot of meetings, the process finally take over. And when I picked the right people to go to, and when I heard what I needed to hear rather than what I wanted to hear, and I took the feedback, and I decided this bullshit behavior was over because of me taking the feedback, then recovery really took off. So I learned a valuable lesson with these steps. First of all, these steps are invaluable. To turn your life around 4 and 5 are just crucial. But when I picked the right person out in 5 and applied the feedback, my recovery really took off, and I'm so grateful for it. Thank you.
Steve B., compulsive gambler.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Louis. The choice of language that is utilized in writing the steps, to me, sometimes is really very important. What is a wrong? What is the difference between a character defect, a shortcoming, a wrong? Why were these steps written, utilized? realizing different, subtle differences. In step five, this is the second step where we are asked to admit something. And as Bob indicated, the admission of the exact nature of our wrongs comes out of the moral inventory and the financial inventory that is taken in step four. So without, obviously without step four and doing a searching and fearless inventory in step four, you can't really do step five. So, but what does it mean to me? It means to me when I did step five and I wrote it and I shared it with my sponsor, it means that I'm putting myself on notice, that I'm aware of the fact that there were behaviors and things that I did in the course of my gambling, and even after I stopped gambling, that needed to be corrected. So this is not only an admission of things that I need to correct, but it was also an admission of my progress in the spiritual program. So were there things that I needed to change? Yes, because stopping gambling was the beginning of my recovery, not the end of my recovery. So I needed to address specific things. And I recall many, many years ago, going back 37 plus years ago, when I came out from behind the shield of just saying, yeah, I know I have character defects and I need to work on them. I went to a meeting and one of my dearest friends, Al C. from Brooklyn, was speaking, and he got up and he said, I don't have any character defects. And everybody was aghast because he had been in Gamblers Anonymous for over 10 years at that time. And he said, I don't have character defects. I have anger. I have selfishness. I have lack of love, lack of compassion. And he said, until I specify the things that I need to change, I'm not going to change them. And that was a signal to me that it wasn't about the rhetoric, it was about the action that's contained in change. So I needed to specify, and the work that had to be done was of course massive, because in step four I had uncovered a whole bunch of things that needed to be addressed. But step five was the impetus to starting to make those changes. And it's also, as I indicated before, a guideline to the progress that you need to make, and also the work that still lies ahead before we get to step six, where I may not be entirely ready to make these changes. Anyway, that's my little piece on step five. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Todd G.
Hi, Todd.
Hey, guys.
Yes.
Hey, Todd.
So, you know, I heard Bobby say something, and you know, I started to nod along, and then I thought about it. And step four and step five are really the same step. And so what I do sometimes, you know, even after having read these things a lot, is I read it again just in English as opposed to in, you know, in GA robot, which is what I usually do when I'm reading the yellow book and falling asleep. And step four made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. So that's figuring out all the things that are good about me, that are bad about me, or good or bad are ways of saying it. You know, my attributes, my defects, things that I can change and things that I can continue to do. And then I look at step five, and it's admitting the exact nature of my wrongs. And while step four is elements of me, emotions and things. Step five is actually actions. So I can admit to people, and that can be part of step five, I can admit that I'm angry or I'm irritable or I have no patience. But I also admit things that are beyond character defects, things that I've done. So I guess that's a moral inventory too. I'm just kind of talking out loud. But it goes to me more into specifics of what I did because I have to prepare myself to ask for forgiveness of people later on. So I really need to get specific in step five, more about acts and deeds than just about how I am and who I am. And the other thing about doing this is admit it to God, to ourselves, and to another human being. That's three parts. So, you know, I kind of get sick of myself saying this, but not being a religious person, I need to figure out what God means first. And to me, it means the rooms, which means I need to be honest in my therapy. That's what step five, admit it to God, to me means be honest in my therapy. Continue to talk about what I'm doing wrong. And by the way, step five is more about wrongs. It's whereas step four, moral inventory, can be positive and negative, step five is pretty much talking about the negatives. So I get to go in my room and I get to be, or my rooms, and I get to be honest. And I have to admit it to myself first. I think that's an interesting order, God before me, because until I admit it to myself, I can't really do anything else about it. And then admit it to another human being. Well, in my rooms, I can glance over things. I've got 5-6 minutes to talk. But when I admit it to another human being, which is my sponsor or sponsors in this case, I have to really dig deep if I want to be honest about everything and if I want to get as much out of it as I can. And so there was a lot when I came in, and you know, I my first sponsor was someone I could get away with a lot of stuff. And then I started to get stronger, tougher sponsors because I did want to get better. And step five was a great opportunity for me to get closer to other human beings, get closer specifically to my sponsors, and start to trust. Even though in step three I made a decision that I was going to trust people, step five, I actually start to do it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, hey, listen, you want to try some cross discussion on this stuff, Steve? What do you think about that? Steve,
after everyone talks, sure.
Why not? Bring it up. Bring something up, Steve.
Did somebody else jump on the phone recently, guys?
I don't know. Does anybody else want to talk? Are there any other speakers?
Well, Gary has to talk.
Gary?
No, Gary's not here. Gary's not here today.
No,
Gary's
like,
not here. I guess he doesn't have to talk.
Steve, bring that out, Steve. You did a lot of work on these mini conferences and so forth.
Yeah, I can tell you the benefit I had a sponsee who unfortunately passed away at a fairly early age from Brooklyn. His name was Jerry M. And he said to me, the opportunity to do step five was the one single thing, the most important thing to him in keeping him in Gamblers Anonymous and keeping him away from gambling, was the opportunity to put himself on notice and put himself on record about the things that he had done and the changes that he was undertaking. And so it's the lesson to me again was, you know, put yourself on the line. Don't just talk the talk. You have to walk the walk. And in step five, even though you might not be willing to share it with everyone in the fellowship or every, you know, at least you know that there was someone else besides yourself who was aware of some of the things that that not only that you did, but some of the things that you continue to work upon. So to integrate step five into the rest of the steps, it has an implication, obviously, in step 10 in the daily inventory. It has an implication in your ability to reach out to other compulsive gamblers who are still suffering in step 12. It has an implication even going back as you go around in the circle of the steps to reinforcing the admission that you're powerless over gambling. So, again, it's a spoke in the wheel that's important. You can't take one spoke out of the wheel and expect to have a full recovery. So that's an additional aspect of what step five means to me.
What is this obsession with we have to find out who God is? As long as God works gives us gifts and so forth, why do we have to define a God? Anybody can answer that?
I think it's just confusing for someone who hasn't defined a God.
Well, why do you have to define a God?
Well, it says
if
right
you're getting benefits.
Steps.
Are you getting benefits out of the out
of
this program?
Louis,
then why do you have to define a God?
Because I'm trying to understand the step, and when it says God, I need to figure out what that means.
Well, actually, in step five in Gamblers Anonymous, it doesn't say God.
Yeah. Todd, where does it say God in step five?
That's the original in AA. It says
right,
God.
Right, that's AA.
Oh, I'm looking at well, I'm actually looking at that. Yeah.
In fact, it says admit to another human being. God's not mentioned at all.
Yeah, that's one of the places where that night before that first meeting where they took
they crossed God out.
Where Jim W. took God out. That's right.
Right.
But that's still a question that applies. And there's an see for whatever question we have, and Lou brought up the question. There's an answer. There's an answer within the steps. There is an answer for that. The answer is, and the answer is given in several places. It's a God of our understanding.
Right.
So if our understanding is that there are things about recovery, things about life in general that we don't understand, we can say, well, at least we know that there's a higher power that is taking care of that. If we accept the idea that our will didn't work, but God's will or higher power's will in terms of our recovery seems to be working for us. So it can be as simple as that, or it can be as complicated as you may want it to be. What were your thoughts about that, Lou, other than the fact that...
You know, this is a program of obeyance. If you don't obey the program, it's not going to work. It's not a suggested program. It's a program that you obey. You know, you obey that. In the first step, we've all experienced all the horror of compulsive gambling and the loneliness and the pain and the destruction that we cause. That's easy. And after that, it's got to be trust. It's got to be belief. It has to be. We have to obey the steps in order to get the benefits. And that's what's happening with so many people. They don't obey the steps. They tell the stories. They tell the war stories.
Well,
instead of talking about solutions, they're talking about what they did.
Well, I think that goes back to one of the previous comments that we heard in earlier steps. I think I believe it was in step two. You need to want to recover, otherwise you're not going to recover. There are some people who are not set up right at the beginning for recovery. They're set up just for abstinence, or then maybe not even set up for that. So it's really an acceptance, an overall acceptance of the fact that yes, I can do better, I can get better, I will be better if I apply myself, if I put this extra effort in, which means reading the steps, writing the steps, talking about the steps. Some people are not prepared for that. And some people have been around for many, 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 many years are still not prepared for that. And that's a shame on them. That's a shame that they can't get a complete recovery. They have a half a recovery.
Yeah, but Steve, we've been all given the gifts. All we have to do is use it.
Well, you got to take them out of the box. You have to take the gifts out of the box if you want to use them. Some people
right,
are not
yeah.
ready to take it out of the box yet.
Right, okay. I need some encouragement sometimes.
Well, you know, so Louis, somebody with your kind of time, what do you do when you need encouragement?
I call people.
Do you call them and you call them to talk to them and help them, or do you call them and tell
no,
them?
No, I call them to help me.
Okay.
This is a self-help program, Todd. Nobody could help anybody. We have to help ourselves to the tools that we're given, and we're all given the tools.
Louis, what I'm asking is, when you pick up the phone and
you
call...
You've got to repeat it a couple of times, Todd, because I'm 90 years old.
Okay. When you pick up the phone and call somebody, do you say, hey, it's Louis, I need to talk, I'm not feeling well, or do you say, how you doing?
I always say, how you doing.
So you ask them how they're doing, and that makes you feel better.
Yeah, ask them how they're doing, and if they're doing fine, I say, why? How are you doing fine? What's happening with you? Don't I ask you every time I call you, what's happening?
You do, yeah.
I want to know what's happening to you.
Well, maybe
and if anything good is happening, I want to embrace it.
I appreciate that. I just was going to say maybe I don't think enough. I wonder how you're doing. And we talk about your health, but we don't talk about a lot of other things sometimes. Like if you're not, you know, if you're feeling down, I don't know if you've ever told me that.
Oh, I don't want to talk about my pain and my aches and my right, because that's not going to help you. You can't understand it because you're not 90 and you don't have bad legs and you don't have a bad heart and you don't have all. And what good is that going to do to you? Is that going to, are you going to learn anything from that?
Well, maybe I'll feel better helping you, letting you talk.
I don't know. Hey,
I don't know.
The main thing is we got to get this thing going. We've got to get it going 7 days a week. And I did it for a very selfish reason. There's going to be times where I can't go to meetings, you know, because I can't physically go. I don't feel good. And I just don't want to go. And I got to be careful because I'm still a compulsive gambler. I'm still an addict. I didn't change anything. I'm just not doing the work that an addict does. I'll be an addict for the rest of my life. Do you think you could change from being an addict?
It hasn't happened yet.
Steve?
In the strictest sense, it's how you define yourself. Your behavior is the outward manifestation of how you define yourself. Because I have admitted and I've accepted that I am a compulsive gambler, it colors every aspect of my life. But being a compulsive gambler who doesn't gamble also defines the idea that I have started to make changes. But when I revert to the behaviors that were most closely identified with an active compulsive gambler, being selfish, being secretive, being dishonest, then the outward appearance of me also changes. So am I always going to be a compulsive gambler? Yes. Hopefully I'll be one who has not gambled in an X number of years, and a person who, by working on the steps, is able to define myself not just as a compulsive gambler, but in many, many other ways. So there is no right or wrong answer to that question. The answer is that I'm a different person because I don't gamble and because I'm involved in a recovery program which is spiritual in its basis.
Joe A., if you remember, put it beautifully. He says, I'm not a saint. I'm going to get angry, and I'm going to get pissed, and but I'm not going to stay there. He says, I'm not going to stay in that behavior. I'm aware of it, and I get out of it. So we're always going to have these defects. The idea is not to act on them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, of course.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Why don't we say we call it a night?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for everything. You guys are great. You're absolutely fantastic. I love you all.
Have a happy fourth, guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Bobby.
Don't drink too much, Louie.